We got a guest speaker all the way from Gainesville this morning, and this guy, it's Michael Krames, and I have a couple of things to say about Michael, because he's become such a good friend of mine, and such a close brother in the Lord, and such a blessing in my life personally. He is a man full of faith. In fact, there are very few people I know in this life that has as much faith as Michael has. I mean, steady, powerful faith to see God move. He's full of wisdom. There are times when he's spoken into my life, and I was just like, all right, that was from God. That wasn't you. That was from God, and God's using you to speak to me right now. And I believe God's going to use him to speak to you this morning. He's got a great message plan. Would you welcome Michael Krames up to the stage?
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that made me feel good. Hi. How are you guys doing? Good, good. I'm doing pretty good, too. Guys, I'm so excited to be up here. This is my favorite thing to do. I love being able to speak into your guys' life, and I'm really excited today because I'm going to be wrapping up our series on encouragement. Have you guys been enjoying this series? Have been encouraging you yet? So, as you know, Pastor Bill's been on sabbatical the month of June, which is awesome. He's going to come back all strong and refreshed with fresh vision from the Lord. So the first 2 weeks, Pastor Mike gave some awesome messages. And then last week, my dad gave an amazing message on Father's Day. Yeah. If you haven't seen those yet, I say you should go back to the website and check them out. But I get to put the finishing touches on our encouragement series. And it's a good thing we're talking about encouragement because it's easy to get discouraged nowadays, isn't it, with what's going on. Do you ever go to like a gathering of people or you're sitting down for dinner and someone says, hey guys, have you heard about all the terrible things that are going on in the world today? Let's talk about them in great detail and get really mad and angry about it. Ever had that happen before? Have you done that before? Don't raise your hand. But I'm going to challenge you guys today. What if you switched it around and you said, hey guys, have you heard that God is still on the throne?
Yeah.
Have you heard that people overseas are getting saved in great numbers? There are people who've never even heard of Jesus before having dreams of a man named Jesus appearing to them and giving their heart to the Lord. Have you heard about that yet? Have you heard that the devil's been defeated? Have you heard that death couldn't keep God down? We're going to lift our voice in victory and sing his praises loud. Have you heard these great things? Have you heard that there's over 100 nations represented on the UF campus, and they're going to go back to their countries and be leaders, and we have an opportunity to minister to them in the love and the power of God? Have you heard that yet? Have you heard all the good news, church? There's a lot of good news right now. Are you guys encouraged yet? Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. I encouraged you. We're done. We're done. No, I haven't started yet. So let's get into our theme verse for the month, which is Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So I'm going to give you guys a message today, and I'm calling it Rewarded in the Light. Rewarded in the Light. If you go to Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world, and a city set on the hill cannot be hidden. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. If you might want to turn me down a little bit. Thanks. Light of the world. So what does that mean, rewarded in the light? Why am I saying that? Well, let's go. I got a scripture that's going to explain that to you. Go to Jeremiah 17:10. So let me read it for you. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Now, a lot of people, when they read this and they teach on this, they kind of teach it in a negative light, where they're like, oh, you better watch out. God can see your thoughts. You better not think anything bad. And yeah, it's true. We shouldn't think bad things. We should think about that. Well, I'm going to actually flip that on you and say, this is actually a really good thing. This is actually a really encouraging thing. You're like, Michael, what are you talking about? Well, maybe I'm the only one, but have you ever had someone make you really angry before? Have you ever had someone just really tick you off, do something you really didn't like, and all you wanted to do was put your finger in their face and tell them to go to H-E double sippy straws and just, you like that? Thank you. You had some choice words for them, didn't you? But you didn't. You didn't say it. because you knew it would be wrong and you knew it would hurt them. God saw that. When he looked in your mind, he saw you made that decision not to hurt that person. And I think that's really encouraging. So also, maybe, on the same note, maybe you've done something really nice for someone before. Or maybe you made a big sacrifice that nobody saw. Now, of course, you didn't do it so people would see you, but wouldn't it be nice if just one person knew what you did? Well, I'm here to tell you today there is one person with a capital P who did see exactly what you did, even if nobody else saw it. And also, I know you didn't do it to get something back. You didn't want something from it, but wouldn't it be nice if just every once in a while you got a little something for your troubles? Well, I want to tell you again that that same person who saw what you did also wants to bless you and reward you for it. So the things that you've been doing in the dark, so to speak, God wants to reward you in the light for it. So I'm going to give you, well, first of all, you might want to write this down because it's not in your notes. By the way, speaking of notes, does everyone have notes? If you don't have notes, there should be one in your and your worship guide. If not, raise your hand and the ushers will give you one. Thank you. So you might want to write this down in your notes. Every reward is planted in the dark. Every reward is planted in the dark. Now, again, when people talk about dark on church, it's usually in a negative connotation, right? But in this case, it's a good thing because all rewards start in the dark. All things are planted in the dark. So think of a seed that you plant that grows into a tree. You don't put it up in the light, do you? You plant it in the dark where no one can see it, and then you harvest it in the light. So all your rewards God is going to give you start in the dark. And I'm going to give you three kinds of dark, three types of dark that rewards are planted in. Starting with your first fill in the blank, and it's in your notes. First type of dark is deeds done in secret. Deeds done in secret. And our verse for that is Matthew 6:4. That your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. Will self reward you openly. Not even in the same thing. You maybe do something completely unrelated, but God will bless you somewhere else in a better way for that. It's like what we've been talking about. You've all done things for people before that nobody saw, but your Father saw it. And according to this scripture, he wants to bless you for it, doesn't he? One time about, I guess a few years ago, my last job, I worked with a young gentleman for 3 years. And he was a great guy, good hard worker, nice guy. But he had this issue of, he insulted my faith almost on a daily basis. He would straight up walk up and say, "Michael, I respect you, but your faith is stupid." He would say that all the time to me. And I had some choice words for him. Some things I wanted to say to him for insulting the most important thing in my life. But every time God stopped me, and he would tell me the same thing, do it the same thing every time, he'd tell me just to smile at him. So he'd insult me, and I would just smile at him. And this went on for like 3 years. He kept doing it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't ever defend yourself, because the Bible does say be ready to give a defense for your faith. But in this case, I happen to know he'd been hurt before, and he was angry at God. And I think he was trying to get a rise out of me to kind of substantiate his anger towards God. So God said, "Don't do it. Just smile at him." And after 3 years, when I was leaving the job, he pulled me aside and said, "Michael, you should be angry at me." He's like, "You should be angry at me. I've been a jerk to you." He said, "But you never got angry at me." I was actually angry at him, by the way. I was definitely angry at him, but I chose to smile at him every time. And even though he didn't get saved right then and there, he looked at me and said, "Michael, our beliefs couldn't be any different." He said, "But I genuinely like you, and I genuinely liked working with you." And he's moved away now. He may not be saved, but he's going to be saved. I continue to pray for him every day. And he's got that in his head. He's like, "I insulted a Christian for 3 years, and he never got mad at me or never showed mad at me. All I got was love for him. That's something I did in secret. Nobody saw it." Yeah, you can clap your hands. That's great. Thank you. So that is something I will get rewarded for. Not that I did it for the reward. I did it because God asked me to and because I loved that guy. But it was something I did in secret that only God saw. And I guess you guys know now because I just told all you guys. But in general, it's only God that sees it. So that's the first kind of dark, is something done in secret. And that one is something I didn't do, but maybe you have done things before, done things like sacrifice for people, given up things you wanted for somebody else. Every time you do that, you make God so happy. He says, that's my boy. That's my girl. He looks to the angel next to him. He said, you see what you just did? You know, when Victoria's back there cutting fruit, she's like, that's my girl. You see her back there serving me? When you're tithing, when you're mowing the grass for the church, whatever it is that you're doing, God is just bragging on you. Yeah. He's got your bumper sticker on the back of his car. He's got your name there. He loves you. He makes him so happy, and he wants to bless you for that. Amen? Amen. All right, so that's number one, deeds done in secret. The second dark place in which rewards are planted in your notes, in your fill in the blank, time spent in the secret place. Not the same, not the secret, done in secret, the secret place. Not quite the same thing. Let's go back to Matthew 4, same chapter, a couple verses down, verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room and pray you, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Not saying in secret, he's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Says it again. He must mean what he's saying, right? So the secret place, what's the secret place? Well, another word for it is your quiet time, your prayer closet, the place where it's just you and God, nobody else, where you're praying, reading your Bible, worshiping, just you and God. A lot of rewards are born there. A lot of rewards are planted there. And how many of you know your secret place, your quiet time, is under attack from the devil? If you're like me, I'm maybe the only person, but you sometimes look at the TV and stuff and be like, there's nothing on. There's nothing good to do. But when it's time to have your quiet time, everything's on. There's so many good things to do. Has anyone ever experienced that before? Like, for some reason, everything looks super exciting. That's because the devil does not want you to have that quiet time, does not want you to have that secret place, because that's really dangerous for him and really good for you. And if you've ever seen a strong man or woman of God before who looks like they got it all together, now, no one's really got it all together, but in terms of most humans, they seem to have it all together. And when they're encouraging you and telling you things, you'll be like, well, that's easy for you to say. You've got it all together. Well, the reason they have it all together is because they've literally spent years in the secret place before. And if you actually planned out the time, some of them, I bet it is actual years they've spent just them and God, you know, over time praying. So that really strengthens you, and that plants so many rewards for God to harvest in the light for you. Check out this next scripture. I really like it because it's got both places I've talked about already. Same chapter, Matthew 6, verses 17 and 18. This is Jesus talking about fasting. So he's correcting people because they were fasting and pretending like they were so hungry and so holy and wanted everyone to praise them because they were fasting. But Jesus said, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. Excuse me, but to your Father who is in the secret place, there's the secret place, and your Father, who sees in secret, both the secret place and he sees in secret, will reward you openly. You think God's trying to get something across to you? He said this three times in a row. He will reward you openly for things done in secret. So I've got a funny story to tell you. I like stories that kind of illustrates this. Way back a long time ago, 11 years ago, when I was still in college, I was in the zoo program where I was learning to be a zookeeper. And when that's a thing, there's a zoo school. I was in that. And there was another zoo that had a lot of alligators, and they needed help catching all their alligators because they had about 100 of them and a big giant lake, and it was time for their annual physicals. So they didn't have enough staff to catch all the alligators, so they called on the zoo school to come help them. So we spent the whole day knee-deep in muddy water, catching alligators of all sizes. Some of you might say that's terrifying. I say that's heaven. That is so much fun. Actually, I got a picture of me. Look at little me, little 19-year-old me. I'm on top of an alligator right there. I don't know if you can see that. little 19-year-old Michael drug that alligator to the shore and wrestled it. I probably weigh like 50 pounds in that picture. Half of that is my hair, I think. Can we talk about my hair? Boy bands wish they had hair like that. You guys think I should go back to that hair? No, no. Whoa. Well, someone's really adamant about that. But just look at, I'm covered in mud, but my hair is beautiful. It's just the way it works. So the story I want to tell you is not about this gator. It's about a gator about that same size. I caught some bigger ones that day, but this one is about at the end of the day. And we were catching them with big sticks with nooses on the end. You know, we'd hook them and we'd drag them to shore. That one was actually on my foot when I found it in the water. It disappeared. I'm like, where is it? And somebody picked it up and its head was on my foot. So it was fun. I liked it. Maybe I'm weird, but I thought it was fun. But this alligator, it's towards the end of the day. We've been catching alligators all day. The sun's starting to go down. And we didn't have any more nooses left. And there was one gator way back up on the top of a hill in a mangrove thicket. And we didn't have any nooses, so one of the workers there said, does anybody want to try to catch it with a lasso? I think my hand was already reaching for it before he asked it, because I was like, I can catch an alligator in a more difficult way? That sounds even more fun. So I take the lasso, and I go back into the mangroves, and there's the alligator sitting there. And in my mind, it's going to be like in the movies, right? You're going to spin it, and it's going to be like a Western. I'm just going to hook it on the first shot. And by the way, that is not that easy to do that. If you've ever tried to throw a lasso before, it's actually incredibly difficult. So I got it. I'm all happy. I spin. I throw it. Completely miss the alligator. I think I hit a bush nearby. I saw the alligator's eyes actually look at me like it felt bad for me or something like that. So it's like, really? Come on, guys. So I throw it again, and I miss again. I hit its tail. Then I hit its back. And then I just start smacking it in the face. Over and over again. And the alligator's not even moving, it's just sitting there as I just smack it. And alligators can actually move pretty fast on land, but it takes them a little bit to get going because they're so big. They're very strong, but they gotta get going, so it takes a lot of energy. So they don't move unless they really have to, but I had smacked him in the face so many times, he got really annoyed with me. And I kid you not, he sighed. He went, ugh, and then he... it stood up and started walking away from me. So I start walking behind it, you know, still missing. And then it starts walking faster, and then I start walking faster, and then it starts running, and then I start running, and then it starts sprinting, and I start sprinting straight through the mangroves. And on the other side of the mangroves is a hill, and then all of my classmates are at the bottom of the hill catching alligators, and they don't realize what's heading straight for them at the moment. And... So all the visitors in the zoo had gathered to watch, because, you know, that's exciting, people. So there's this whole line of visitors on, like, a boardwalk from above hill and my classmates. And suddenly this alligator explodes from the sky out of the mangroves above them, and that's an alarming sight for anyone, to have an alligator flying straight at you. Now, picture this from their point of view. They didn't see me back in the mangroves. All they saw was this boy explode out of the bushes, spinning his lasso midair, his gorgeous hair flowing in the wind. It's like real-life slow motion. The sun is setting. It's like this amazing sight. In midair, I throw my last lasso, and I'm pretty sure an angel must have flown down and, like, put his finger on it and, like, guided it, because it went right around the alligator's head. In midair, and when I land, it gets really muddy because they drain the water, and I slide a couple feet, and then I pull back like doop, like that. I pull back like that, and I hook it, and I pull it away from my classmates, and I land, and I like subdue it, and I didn't even see everyone else. I was like, I got it. I was just really happy, and then I look up, and my classmates are just staring at me, and then I hear behind me, like cheering, and I turn around, there's this whole group of people cheering, like, woo, you're amazing, marry me. No one said that, but I mean, they might have, I didn't hear them. So they didn't see me struggling in the dark back there, missing like an idiot, like 50 times. All they saw was this magical alligator boy exploding out of the woods and catching an alligator in midair. So the point I'm trying to get across is, you've got a God that loves you. You've got a God that wants to reward you in your own way. Maybe you don't want to be rewarded by catching an alligator in midair, but God's got his own way of rewarding you for the things that you do. And I was just focused on catching the alligator. I wasn't focusing on impressing everybody. So it's the same way with you guys. God's got things he wants to bless you with, and you're planting the seeds in the secret and in the secret place. All right? You encouraged yet? Getting encouraged? All right, all right, all right. So I'm not saying we should expect compensation. I'm just saying God wants to bless you for it. So next type of dark that rewards are planted in is number three in your notes. It says, what is stored in your heart and in your mind? In the dark of your heart and in the dark of your mind. It already exists in there. So to bring this point home, I'm going to read you a passage. You've probably heard of it before. Maybe you have. It's the story of the woman with the issue of the flow of blood that Jesus healed. And to set the stage, I'm going to read from Mark, the Gospel of Mark. It's in several of the Gospels, but we're going to read Mark's story. Jesus is walking around in a city, and all the multitudes are following him. And he's pretty famous at this point from all the healings and stuff. And the multitudes are just surrounding him, touching him, grabbing him, all kind of stuff. So we're going to pick up here with this woman's story. And it says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she only grew worse. That's pretty frustrating, huh? But when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around into the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And the disciples are like, you see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? So Jesus gets getting touched. People are all over him, and just suddenly he goes, whoa, who touched me? And his disciples are like, what the heck are you talking about? Jesus confused his disciples a lot, but they weren't really. I think he thought it was funny, but he probably did, but he always told them why later. But skip on down to verse 34, and he's Jesus talking to the woman. He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. So why was she healed when everybody else wasn't who was touching him? Well, go back to verse 28. Because she thought, underline that, she thought, if I touch his clothes, I will be healed. Her healing already existed in her head and in her heart. In the dark of her head and the dark of her heart, it was already there. She just hadn't reaped it in the light yet. It already existed. So that's the third dark place. It needs to already exist in here and in here before it comes out in the light. So if you guys remember about a year ago, I had a dream or a vision to restart the college ministry. And in my secret place, in my quiet time, God showed me a vision of a pavilion out on our church land. And I saw it. I could see it. It was in there. It was in here. I could see it. It was real. I didn't know how it was going to happen because we didn't have any money for it. But I could see it, and I told Pastor Bill, and he could see it too. And then I told it to the whole church. And I was like, I don't know how we do it, but this is my vision. And then Alexis pulled me aside, and she had the idea for the Perry Plantation Fun Day. She's like, we're going to put on this big fundraiser, and you're going to lead it. And I said, I'm going to do what now? You know, I'd never led a huge fundraiser like that, but it already existed up here and in here. And the cool thing was, when I told each of you guys about it, you told me, I can see it too. Like, I had people say, I see it. There it is. They're like, I can see the pavilion there. I can see the people worshiping under it. I can see the lights. And that's how you know a dream is from God, is when not only you can see it, but other people around you can see it too. And that's also, you know, when you're a good leader and you've effectively put the vision in other people's hearts and they can see it as clearly as you can. And if you guys go out to the church property right now, guess what you see? You see a pavilion standing there on the church property in the light right now because God blessed us with it because it already existed in our minds and in our hearts. So I go to Psalm 24. It says, may he grant your hearts desire and fulfill all of your plans. How many of you have dreams that God has put in your heart? How many of you have big dreams that you keep waiting for, that you keep praying for? Will it ever come to pass? If it stays in here, it will. Isn't that what the scripture says? It will come to pass. If you plant seeds in all three places I've been telling you about, deeds done in secret, though they may seem unrelated, spending time in the secret place, and keeping it alive and in your mind and in your heart, it will come to pass. That is what the scripture says. It will happen, no matter how crazy it is. But if it's God's will, if he's put that in your heart and in your mind, it's going to happen. And if you say, well, how do I know if it's God's will? What if I just made it up? If everyone around you sees it just like you do, you know it's God's will. Now, not the whole world, because you're going to have people in the world who tell you can't do it. I'm talking about your close friends, your close Christian friends, the people you trust, your leaders. When you tell it to them and they say, I can see it too, then you know it's a dream from God, and then you know it's going to come to pass. Amen? And guys, I have big dreams for Victory Church. I hope you guys do too. I have a dream of seeing a huge college group with hundreds of people out there worshiping. Not even hundreds, even more than that. And seeing dreams and visions and seeing healings. Do you guys see that too? Do you guys see it with me? I have another dream. I have a dream of a huge, thriving children's church out here with young men and women, children being brought up in the love and power of God and having great people to look up to, people to teach them. I see that. Do you guys see that out there for the children's church? I have a vision. I see a huge youth group with young kids serving God with all their heart. Great Christian friends. Not worshiping the things of the world, but worshiping the Almighty God. Can you see that? Can you see all those youth running around, worshiping God together, doing mission trips and all kind of stuff? Can you see that? I can see it. If you can see it with me, it's real. That's what the Bible says. If it exists already in the dark, in God's mind, it already exists in the light, even though you haven't reaped it yet. It's already there. And also, guys, can you see that new building God has for us in Gainesville? Can you see it? Logistically, it's not thing yet. Logistically, we don't know how it's going to happen, but it's already there. It already exists. So as long as we as a church, not just the leadership, not just Pastor Bill hasn't given up. He's never going to give up. But as the church, all of us, if we don't give up, if we continue to see it up here and in here together, it's going to happen. So don't lose faith. I know it's hard, because we keep talking about it like, oh, we got all these plans. We're going to reach so many people. We're going to have a bigger building. We're going to have all this stuff, but it just hasn't happened yet. It already is happening. I'm telling you, it's already real. It's not like God hasn't figured out how to put it there. It's already there. If we believe, if we keep it, and we keep doing those three things, keep serving right now. We don't just stop and say, well, once we get the building, then we'll serve. No, that's not how it works. You serve now. You spend time in the quiet place now. You believe for it now. You see it now. You act as if it's already there, because it is. Are you guys encouraged by all this? Have you guys got encouragement by all this? Well, I am encouraged for all you guys, because I know each of you has got an awesome dream God has put in your heart, and I'm telling you right now it exists. You're not crazy. Don't listen to the devil. He's going to try to tell you, like, you can't do that. He's right. You can't do that. God can do that. It's too big for you to do, you know it's God. If you think, I can do that, that's not God. You're not dreaming big enough. Yeah, I had a dream to start the college group. That's not where it starts. I have a much bigger dream for the college group. I have a huge dream that I could never do. But all of us together, and God can do it, can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Did you guys get anything out of this today? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time and this opportunity to speak into your amazing church, all these men and women of God. Lord, I feel like a privilege to talk to them. I pray this word encourages them and they remember it, Lord Jesus, that throughout the week, Lord, they'd think back to it and you'd speak to them through it, Lord Jesus, that they'd be having, maybe if they're having a hard time or they're getting discouraged, but they remember, no, it already exists. You're for them. You want reward them. You're a good God. You're a loving God. And you'll always be there for them. Father, I thank you. And right now, we never want to do a service without asking this question. Maybe you've been here and you hear me talking about God, and you realize, you know, I don't know God. And I ask you the question, if you died tonight, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? You might say, I think so, hope so, I'm not sure. How can anyone know for sure? Well, the Bible says you can know for sure. It says, I have written these things, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. What's that? That's when there comes a time in your life when you ask Jesus to live in your heart, he makes you into a new person. So if you haven't done that before, in just a few seconds, everyone's eyes are going to be closed. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand just to show as a symbol of your faith, and then I'll lead everyone in a prayer at once. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. So in just a minute, I'm going to ask you that, but I have another question for you. Maybe you've done that before in the past, and you know right now you're not where you're supposed to be with God. You're not where you want to be with God. So I'm going to ask you the same question. You're going to raise your hand at the same time. So right now, if either of those things apply to you, you want to give your life to God for the first time, or you want to rededicate your life, go ahead and raise your hand right now. Raise it up high for everyone to see. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Awesome. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. That's awesome. Praise God. Okay, let's pray this prayer. Repeat after me, and everybody help them. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. Jesus, I believe that you came to earth and died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. I open my heart and invite you to come in. Forgive me of my sins and make me into the person that you want me to be. Be my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People just got born again, birthed into the kingdom of God. Great day. Great day.